is the Retirement Playbook with Rick and Granger Hughes.
Hold on to your hats, folks. Here he comes.
He spent 25 years as a leader and coach on the basketball court and now is ready to help coach you to achieve your retirement goals.
Looking at the new reality, what's happening today, what's happening in the future compared to the old reality, things have changed.
He is joined each week by his son and business partner, Granger Hughes.
It's very, very important to show a client, here's the possibility of where we could be, here's where we have been, and here's how we get there.
Put the coach on your team, working through the X's and O's of a customized retirement strategy.
That's what Granger and I do again on a day-to-day basis, is try to educate people and let them know what their options are.
Everybody's ready to go. He's ready to go. I'm ready to go. And you're ready to go.
This is the Retirement Playbook with Rick and Granger Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to the Retirement Playbook with the father-son team of Rick and Granger Hughes and myself. My name is Chris Swan. Whether it's your first time tuning in or you're a longtime listener, we really do appreciate you joining us today. 423-664-4203. That's the number. That's how you reach out to us. Get in touch with the Hughes Retirement Group with offices in Cleveland, Chattanooga, Knoxville, and Birmingham. The number is the same, 423-664-4203. Also online at HughesRetirementGroup.com. I'm ready to get the show on the road, but before I do, I'd be remiss if I didn't check in with the Hughes Retirement Group or half of the Hughes Retirement Group. Granger flying solo today. How you doing today, man?
Doing well, Chris. Thanks for asking.
I'm glad to hear it. Education is the name of the game. That's what we do here with the show. It's to inform you, the listeners out there, to be more informed about things that you may face in retirement. Get you thinking about it beforehand, because it's not necessarily as simple as punching out for the last time and then just start collecting, whether it be Social Security or a pension or what have you. There's a lot that goes into it, and it's to get you thinking about it today. And when you do start thinking about it and you have questions, one more time, that number, 423-664-4203. One of the questions, what are you as an investor supposed to do when you see as much market volatility as we've had in the recent months? Peter Schiff, CEO of Euro Pacific Capital, recently told Fox Business, you can't afford to just sit around and wait.
There's a lot of complacency out there. People should be afraid more so about what's going to happen to the economy. There is going to be another financial crisis. The next recession is going to be much worse than the last one. That is the problem.
Now, we've talked about complacency before on the show, just people getting lulled into a false sense of security with the way that the market has been going for the past, you know, decade. And Peter just warned against complacency. How are we supposed to react to what we're seeing right now in the markets?
Well, you know, Chris, I still think we have to be cautious. When he's talking about it being worse than 2008, I mean, that could very well be the case. And the way that we try to set our clients up is with active portfolios. So we are looking at, on a daily basis, the technical indicators, the fundamental indicators. So, you know, when we've talked to our clients here recently, we've said, look, a lot of the technical indicators, if you watch, you know, CNBC or whatever show you watch out there that talks about, hey, these companies have dropped below their 200-day moving average, or the relative strength is showing it's a touch overbought, or things like that. So we're looking at those technical indicators, but we're also looking at them in tandem with the fundamental indicators. So right now, we still have a very strong economy. We look here recently, the U.S. economy just added 312,000 jobs this past month. So the economy is still relatively strong. So when you compare that to 2008 or you compare that to 2001, you couldn't say that at the same time. So I think you have to be cautious. You can't hit the panic button. You can't be somebody who's risk averse. And then in 2017, all of a sudden you become risky because you think, hey, man, I can throw darts at a dartboard and pick the right stocks. And all of a sudden you've turned into a stock picker. So I think you have to develop a strategy, develop a plan, and don't have a fear of missing out, like I've said in the past. You can't sit here and say, oh, gosh, I wish I would have bought that, or I wish I was in the market now, or I wish I was out of the market now. You have to stay with your strategy. Get away from using that emotion. You know, I've talked about the Dalbar study in the past. Investors typically lose because they're using emotion to invest. You know, use the data, use the stats, use the scientific measurements that we look at. And we say, hey, look, these indicators are showing us that it's going to be a bearish trend for a while. And then we're looking at those indicators in tandem, once again, with the economy, the fundamental indicators, if you will. Then that may be a time where you want to start shifting. But a lot of our portfolios are active portfolios where when those indicators are hit, the portfolio responds in such a way that it will go ahead and get more conservative or rebalance if it needs to do that. So I think putting together a plan, putting together a strategy, and not going back and forth, not jumping ship, trying to almost manufacture a recession. Everybody, it seems like, is just waiting for that next recession instead of just saying, hey, look, I've got a long-term plan. I'm going to stick with it until I see some major things that statistically show, hey, this thing is going south, and I'm going to readjust it.
It's kind of tricky. I think it's easy for people out there to have a very what-have-you-done-for-me-lately mentality when it comes to the market, when it comes to their retirement plan. But having a plan, having a sound plan put in place for you, and then trusting in that plan with these indicators and things, you know, we said before, the Hughes Retirement Group, there are no crystal balls in their office. What they do have on their side when it comes to putting together a sound retirement strategy for you is history and using indicators and things like that. And when he says active, Granger means active. I mean, you know how short our breaks are here on the show, but even during that minute, minute and a half that we're on a break, Granger is over there on his computer and he's working. It is very active, and it's something that the Hughes Retirement Group will be happy to put together that sound retirement strategy for you. All you have to do is pick up the phone to get started and call 423-664-4203. One more time, 423-664-4203. Also online at HughesRetirementGroup.com. When you do go to the website, HughesRetirementGroup.com, you can go in the top right corner there. There's a link to the YouTube channel. You can check out previous editions of the Hughes Retirement Group to listen to at your own pace, and some educational videos out there where a visual component may be more beneficial. Things like the three buckets of money strategy, which we talk about regularly on the show, Social Security, taxation, things like that. Again, the YouTube channel, you can find the link right there at HughesRetirementGroup.com. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger talks about how much Social Security you should count on when you retire.
I would say that if you're under the age of 35, I would literally say take whatever the Social Security benefit is that you're due to get, SSA.gov, you can figure it out. And you can actually say, let me just take 3/4 of that. And that's what you can count on. If you save enough money and you then end up with more Social Security than you count on, mm-hmm. great. You have more money to spend as you get older. But without doing these kinds of calculations, you're kind of flying blind. And mm-hmm. that is not a comfortable place to be.
Now, her advice there was for people who are 35 years of age. And so this is actually the show, you know, is obviously somebody catered to a little bit more, a little older, a little bit closer to retirement. But Granger, do you agree with Jill? What are your thoughts about the future of Social Security?
Well, look, Jill's a very bright lady, but I don't agree with her, especially if you're under 35. You know, I don't think you should bank on 3/4 of Social Security. In all honesty, I sit there and bank on zero. And if I get a penny, I'll be grateful. I mean, if you look at the numbers the way they are right now, the government has not done enough to shift and adjust themselves to be able to pay out those benefits. We look at Social Security right now. Here's what I want to tell people, and this is something I always say in class. You know, Social Security, I think, will probably be there when I'm 65. Will I be eligible for it? I don't know. If we take a look once again at that Social Security tax that we have levied on us, right now if you're a married couple making over $32,000 a year, that Social Security that you're going to get is going to be 50% taxable. They came along then and added an additional tax of 85% if you're making over $44,000 a year. So I'm trying to fast forward the next 5, 10, 15 years as we look at this debt just rise. And, you know, I always ask this question. I pose this to the class. Who here thinks that the wealthy should pay their fair share? You know, and I'll get a few people raise their hands. And then once again, I'll come back and I'll say, okay, give me an idea who the wealthy people are. And then people will throw out numbers. You know, somebody making $250,000, somebody making $500,000, whatever it is. And I said, that's a great point because we have to remember it's not who we think is wealthy. Mm-hmm. It's who the government says is wealthy. So you have to fast forward if you are sitting there and you're 30 years old or you're 40 years old or you're 50 years old. Who does the government consider wealthy, and is that number changing by the day? So when I get to Social Security age and I may be entitled to 100% of my Social Security, but I make too much in the government's eyes, will I get to keep any of it? And that's something I think you really have to start looking at from a tax standpoint, not just from a solvency standpoint, but just from the tax standpoint in its own, because I don't think they'll allow Social Security to go insolvent, but I do think that their determination of who the rich are and who will be entitled to 100% of their Social Security will drastically have to change.
Especially when it comes to taxation, that is going to be a big factor in people's retirement, both in their pension accounts as is or their 401ks and Social Security as well. Those numbers you threw out, $32,000 as a married couple, 50% taxation, $44,000 as a married couple, 85% taxation. Those numbers aren't especially high. I don't want to speak on behalf of everybody out there, but that is something that has remained kind of constant for how long have those thresholds been in place?
Well, the 85% was here recently cast by Al Gore. He bumped that to 85%. So it's been basically since about the 90s.
So that's something that, again, and you can probably project that that will increase and there'll be more taxation as people are living longer. I think that's one of the biggest, not I don't want to say problems with Social Security, but people are living longer. And as longevity increases, people are receiving their Social Security longer than the government anticipated when it was put in place.
And let's be honest, Chris, I mean, the people who are paying in, we don't have as many people paying in as we once did. So all those baby boomers that paid in for years and years and years are now having to get their benefits. So a lot of people, they don't realize Social Security is a transfer program. You're paying for someone else's. So the baby boomers who were paying for maybe their parents or their grandparents who maybe saw it kind of like what you were saying there, mm-hmm. maybe saw it for 1 to 5 to 10 years max, now are seeing theirs for 20, 30, maybe even 40 years. And now you've got these millennials that are paying into the system, and there's not as many working as there was in the boomer age. So, you know, it's just a simple math when you don't have as many people paying in and the government's gone and they've dipped to that Social Security fund. They've spent that money. They've put IOUs there. Now, all of a sudden, once again, we go back to that math problem. We don't have as many people paying in and that number is decreasing every day. You know, you look and say, okay, will my benefits be there? You know, the math doesn't make sense right now.
No, it doesn't. But it's a conversation worth having, making sure that you get the most out of Social Security. That is part of that retirement strategy that the Hughes Retirement Group will put together for you. One more time, the phone number, 423-664-4203. There is a great video about Social Security taxation where Granger talks about what you can probably anticipate when it comes to Social Security and being taxed on it. The YouTube channel, you can get the link at HughesRetirementGroup.com. One of the top questions people ask financial advisors is, how much does it take to retire? We decided to ask some of our non-retired listeners what they think that magic number might be. Here's what they said.
$300,000 to $500,000.
I don't think that'll be enough.
I don't know.
I mean, it kind of all depends on your lifestyle, but I'm going to say at least $600,000 to $700,000 over time. Probably more if you live longer. I mean, people live to be in their 80s now.
So as you might expect, a lot of different answers there and a little bit of confusion. So Granger, let me ask you, how much does it take to retire comfortably?
Well, you know, I like her response there about lifestyle. I think that's what it comes down to. You know, people have these ideas of, hey, you need $1 million, $2 million, $3 million to retire in today's age. And that may be true. But once again, I go back to this. How much are you going to spend? If you're going to spend $500,000 a year, hypothetically, $3 million is probably not going to get it done for you. So on the other side, if you're going to spend $15,000 a year, you may need significantly less. So that's one of the first things that we tackle when we're sitting down with retirees. And I can give you two examples. I've sat down with a client who's very, very conservative. I don't think she spends more than $12,000 a year, and she certainly has the money to do so. But she grew up in a family that was very frugal, and they just don't spend a lot of money. So she has assets that if she continues the spending that she has so far, she's going to probably be okay in retirement. On the flip side, I have another client who has several million in assets, but they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in expenses, and a lot of that goes to their family. They take care of their children, and they'll buy them sometimes extravagant things like pools and things of that nature, renovate their homes and stuff for them, and they're spending their money on their kids, which is fine to do. But once again, we try to hone in. We try to say, look, it doesn't matter how much you have. If you're spending essentially more than you make, and sometimes that's tough to see when you've got a bucket of money there, but if you're spending more than you make, you're probably not going to last too long in retirement. So that's one of the first things we sit down and we do. So, and here's what we kind of do at our practice, Chris. When we're sitting down with a client, one of the things that we like to do is take their existing portfolio if they're not a client of ours. And we like to test that. We like to show them through Morningstar, which is a third-party company, basically what their risk versus reward is. So we'll tell them the likelihood of them making a certain percentage in a certain year based off of simulations. So what we do that is we take that in tandem with their expected expenses in retirement. So what we'll do is we'll run several simulations, a Monte Carlo simulation, that will essentially show them their percentage of success in retirement. So that's what we like to do is put a number on it. Let's show them exactly where they stand. Because a lot of people, you know, when they're asked this question on the street, where do I stand? How much do I need? Well, I can tell you how much you need if you tell me how much you think you're going to spend. And I can see what current assets you hold. And I can see how aggressive those assets or conservative those assets are. So that's one of the things we'd like to really do is dive into those assets. From an objective standpoint, we don't want to sit there and say, hey, you need to be in mutual fund A or you need to buy this index fund or whatever the case may be. We simply want to say, here is your current risk versus reward, and then pose a question back to them. Does that suit your risk tolerance? Mm-hmm. If that suits their risk tolerance, maybe they can continue on that road. But we can say, hey, as it stands, your risk tolerance right now in conjunction with how much you want to spend in retirement is going to equate to a 65% chance of success. And then all of a sudden, the ball's back in their court. Do I want to continue down this road? Does this seem financially savvy to continue down this road? And that's kind of an approach we like to take because, you know, the thing is that we look at is there's a lot of advisors out there who have a belief system or who have a certain way of doing things. And we try to look at it from this way. We're going to educate clients, like we've said in the past. We're going to look at things from an objective standpoint. We look at the numbers, and the numbers typically don't lie. And we want to put it back on the client. We want the client to be able to see, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's my current risk. Here's my current reward. Here's how much I want to spend. And then they can adjust those things once they see those numbers in black and white. Instead of just saying, hey, I think this is a good fund for you and your family, and I think you ought to try it out, we want to actually show them in black and white the objective detail and let them make the decision.
that objectivity and that education is one of the things that the Hughes Retirement Group prides themselves on, both here on the show, the retirement classes they teach throughout the year around the state, and then also when you sit down and speak with them. You know, Granger just mentioned people who come in who aren't existing clients. They take a look at what they have, and they show them how their plan as it stands right now, how it will look. And at that point, giving people the information and letting them make a decision, having all the facts presented in front of them, and they can do that for you. All it would take is a simple phone call, again, to 423-664-4203. Pick up the phone and just be informed. It's never a bad idea to have a second set of eyes on your plan right now and just kind of get that second opinion. And if there's something in your retirement plan as it stands right now that is problematic, wouldn't you rather know about it right now rather than, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years when you're already in retirement and it may be too late to correct at that point? I think that's beneficial to anybody. All it takes is a simple phone call, 423-664-4203. That magic number is going to be different for everybody, like Granger just said, based on what they're comfortable with, what they want to achieve in retirement, and how much they spend in retirement. And so we could talk them in general terms here on the show, but sitting down and speaking with them and getting more specifics to your situation is ideal. 423-664-4203.
And Chris, you mentioned there, you know, something that could be problematic. One thing I'd point out to our listeners, if you're out there listening today, you know, one of the things that we look at is standard deviation, which is basically the volatility of your portfolio. So one thing I would tell you to look at, you know, and a lot of times we see this with clients that come in with their 401ks or even their traditional IRAs, they don't realize how aggressive they are. And that's okay. It's okay to be aggressive. But a lot of times we'll see clients come in where their risk, let's just say on a standard deviation scale, is 20, okay? And their reward is essentially an average return of 5. That means that it's skewing between a 25% return 1 year and a negative 15% the other year, because all you're doing is you're taking that average return, which is that centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
You're adding 20, and then on the flip side, you're subtracting 20. So they don't realize the volatility that their portfolio faces. So if you're getting an average return of 5, but you're at risk of potentially losing 15 or 20 or 30%, you don't realize your portfolio could be sitting on another 2008. And depending on how much you've got weighted in that particular stock or index fund or whatever that is, you could be in a situation to where, you know, hey, you're 65, you're 66, all of a sudden you're having to go back to work or you're having to change your lifestyle, which you didn't want to have to do. So having it, like you said, having a second set of eyes, having a second opinion, looking at it from a third-party company like Morningstar, which is a very objective company, can help at least let you know where you stand.
That is a pretty wide swing there from negative 15 to 25. And so, yeah, having that second set of eyes and letting you find out ahead of time, because what happens if you do face a market correction and you are heavily invested in the market in retirement? The three options are A, you continue to take your withdrawals as you have been planning and you're almost certain to run out of that money much quicker. B, you take out less money, you recalculate and you just take out less money and hope that that gets you by, or you go back to work. Neither of those situations seems particularly ideal when it comes to retirement. At least that's not how I would plan and I would hope for a retirement. And so having a retirement plan put into place that will help you out and factors in those risks and market corrections, which you're almost certain to see more than one of when it comes to retirement. The only way to avoid that is in a short retirement. And again, that's not an ideal situation. But picking up the phone, having that second set of eyes on your retirement plan as it stands, or if you don't have a plan in place already, having one created for you, the Hughes Retirement Group can help out with that. 423-664-4203. A recent NerdWallet survey claims that the average American keeps about $32,000 in cash. That seems like a lot, Granger. How much should we keep in our checking and savings accounts as opposed to just investing it?
Well, here's what I would say, Chris. I go back to the buckets of money that we talk about on a consistent basis. You know, the three buckets are taxable, tax deferred, and tax free. Remember, our taxable buckets are things that are going to generate a 1099. So we typically say about 6 months living expenses, 6 to 12 months, depending on your comfort level. So if we look at $32,000 in cash, let's just say a 12-month living expenses, that would mean that you have basically about $64,000 in expenses each year, okay? So because your taxable bucket is essentially going to be your cash bucket. It could be savings, it could be money markets, it could be CDs, it could be brokerage accounts, anything that's generating you a 1099 each year. So to have that much cash on hand can be okay at times, you know, especially if you're putting things on the sideline for a temporary period of time. But if you're keeping $32,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 in cash on a consistent basis, you're not really keeping up with inflation. So that would be one thing I would look at. And maybe you're risk averse and maybe you don't want to put it in the market. There are still tools out there where even, you know, I was talking to a client the other day. He was wanting to look at basically getting out of the market. He had called our firm and I guess he had a 401k elsewhere, and he said, you know, I'm losing too much money right now, and I just don't like the risk. I want to put it somewhere where I can get a guarantee. You can get guarantees right now with the interest rates through some of these fixed index annuities where they guarantee a 3.5%. So, you know, getting something that's going to keep up with inflation so that you're not losing money while it's sitting in cash is an option. I'll continue on, though, with the buckets. The tax-deferred bucket is our 401ks, our traditional IRAs, money that's basically we're deferring those taxes. It's pretty simple. It is what it says it is. It's a tax-deferred account. You're putting your money in. In a lot of cases, you're taking a deduction this year. So if you put in $20,000 essentially to your 401k, they're going to deduct your income by $20,000. So they're doing that. But then on the flip side, when you go to take that money out, we talked about earlier on that Social Security taxation, that money is going to count towards your Social Security taxation. So if you're taking out $20,000 a year in retirement, all of a sudden you're making $50,000, you're taking out $20,000, so you're making $70,000 now because you're taking $20,000 from that tax deferred bucket. So we have to realize when we're looking at all these buckets, we have to look at it from a tax standpoint. And then that third bucket is tax-free, things like a Roth or a Roth conversion, some properly structured life insurance policies, where basically you're putting the money in, already having paid tax on it. It's growing in a tax-free venue. And then when you take that money out, it doesn't cause our Social Security to be taxed. So it's finding the right balance between those three buckets. And typically, we're not going to say keep a ton of money in cash, you know, obviously, unless we're looking at the markets, like we said earlier, with the technical indicators, fundamental indicators, and we see a time where it may be okay to move to cash for a period of time until things calm down. So I don't know that I would keep that much in cash, but once again, take a look at your individual situation. Maybe 6 months to 12 months of living expenses would be acceptable.
It does take a little bit of homework on your part to just kind of figure out exactly how much you need, but that is something also that the Hughes Retirement Group can help out with. You mentioned the three buckets of money, Granger, and that is one of the first videos that you guys put up on your YouTube channel because it helps to have that visual component to help explain it. It's a 3.5-minute video. It's pretty short. It's pretty easy to understand. If you've got the time, go to HughesRetirementGroup.com. Click on the YouTube channel right there in the top right corner to better understand the three buckets of money. And Granger did say the A word earlier, annuity, which I understand a lot of people, it has a negative connotation because there are a lot of different kinds of annuities out there, and some are good and some are bad. This isn't something that Granger says is everybody needs to be put in this, or everybody needs to put all of their money into this, because it's not a all your eggs in one basket situation. There's a saying against that. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And it may not be a situation that is ideal for you, but it depends on what you need and what you want to achieve in retirement, where that could be a possibility. And that's a conversation you can sit down and have with the Hughes Retirement Group, where they can explain the ups and downs. Again, if you do have a bad connotation, or if the word annuity creates some sort of adverse reaction with you, having a conversation about it could maybe better educate you. Again, that's what the Hughes Retirement Group does. That's what we do here on the show week in and week out, to educate you and inform you and let you make the decision with all the information there in front of you, whether or not that is something that would be ideal for you. But again, that conversation starts with a simple phone call to 423-664-4203. One more time, 423-664-4203. Also online at HughesRetirementGroup.com. You can check out previous editions of the Retirement Playbook with Rick and Granger Hughes right there at HughesRetirementGroup.com. Just click on the YouTube channel. Just click on the YouTube link up there in the top right corner. And you'll find this one up there in just a little bit because, Granger, we've reached the end of another Retirement Playbook. My name is Chris Swan. As always, I want to thank everybody out there for listening, tuning in week out. 423-664-4203 is the number. And before we go, Granger, as always, I want to give you the final word.
Well, Chris, you know, we talked a lot about volatility today. We talked about Social Security. We talked about the different buckets of money. And we want to just remember, at the end of the day, if you don't have a plan for your money, the government does.
You've been listening to the Retirement Playbook with Rick and Granger Hughes. Tune in again next week at this same time for more information on building a customized retirement strategy. You can contact Hughes Retirement Group at 423-664-4203 or online at HughesRetirementGroup.com.
The information covered today is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. It is not, however, intended to provide specific legal or tax advice. It cannot be used to avoid tax penalties or to promote, market, or recommend any tax plan or arrangement. You are encouraged to consult your tax attorney or advisor. By contacting us, you may be provided with information regarding the purchase of insurance products, including annuities. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Riders may be available at an additional cost. Product and features may vary from state to state. For full details on how life insurance works, including fees, expenses, and costs, contact our office at 423-664-4203.
Call 423-664-4203 to get your free retirement playbook. That's 423-664-4203. or online at HughesRetirementGroup.com. Investment advisory services offered through Retirement Wealth Advisory, RWA, a registered investment advisor. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance, including annuities, licensed in Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama.
Rick and Granger Hughes are investment advisor representatives of Retirement Wealth Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments can fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Licensed in Tennessee, numbers 927054 and 998505. Annuity guarantees rely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurer. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Retirement Wealth Advisors.